Welcome to Getting Real Estate with Josh and Casey.
Josh Lenhart from Director's Mortgage.
And I'm Casey Spohr with John L. Scott. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
How's it going?
My goodness, things have actually been pretty wonderful lately. How about for you?
Good. Busy, which is great. It's spring. Spring is springing.
The improvement of the weather, I feel like, makes a huge... People, like, the sun comes out and people are like, hey, I'd like to buy a house.
I'd love to buy a house now. Yeah.
And even with Megan, I told her, I was like... The busyness and then the nicer weather, like even I pop on Zillow and I'm like, what else is out there?
Right? Yeah. Let's see. Are we house shopping now? I feel like maybe so.
That just comes at, and then I get where people like who are, they, you know, sit on the corner for a while or sit on the shelf and then decide, but it's like, it really can. You just have a conversation one night about how nice it would be to have another bedroom and then all of a sudden you're on the housing market.
Yeah. We're like in so we're in similar sized houses. Yours might have a little bit more square footage on mine. Our yard's a little bigger.
Yep.
You got an extra kid and an extra dog.
Yeah.
But so Josh and I, we actually are like, we do this thing where we're like, oh my God, let's look for a house.
Yep.
And then we're like, and I got the golden ticket, right? Like I can see all the houses. So
yes.
I'm like, let's go look at a house. And we're constantly looking at a house and we're always looking at houses. And then we're just like, you know what? We had a really good thing.
We're fine.
Like, we're good. Yeah.
I know.
And like, it's our first house still, but we have such a good setup. We have a great neighbor next door.
That makes all the difference.
Our kids, you know, you've got kind of a similar situation where our kids play together.
Yep.
Yeah. And we are not in a cul-de-sac, but we've got ladders on opposite sides of the fence.
They can go between the backyards, which isn't, I mean, that's what you wanted, like, growing up. That would have been the best thing in the world.
Yeah. And so we're just like, you know what? It's just going to take something so special to get us to actually do it.
I.e. our kids being older.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we do that, too, all the time. We're just like... Let's go look at this house. Do you want to go look at this house? And then we're like, okay, we're not buying a house. We're going to go on a vacation instead.
Yep.
And then we go on a vacation and we come back and we're like, hey, do you want to go look at this house?
And the big thing for us is like, again, our kids, like we live in a cul-de-sac and anytime we even breathe about it, our kids are like, no, we miss our friends.
Oh yeah. Mason's like, can I still go to the same school and still play with all my same friends?
And you're like, that would be almost impossible.
Yeah.
Because we want more land. Like, that's our dream is having, like, a few acres, which is, like, nowhere near where we live.
Right.
And so having that be our life, like, be like, no, this would be a whole... And then that feels more selfish because then you're like, okay, like, I want a little more square footage in my house, but, like, then my kids are getting uprooted from everything that they love.
Yeah.
Just so... And, you know, kids, it's like, you can give them the world, but the next day they're like, I'm bored with my house. I want to go play.
Well, and I think about, like, obviously, I have an only child, so play dates are, like, major, right? Because they don't have... I mean, you have, like, siblings, but, like, to live in... the country and property, I think, oh my God, like what a childhood. I grew up on 5 acres. Like it wasn't like a super nice 5 acres, but I also had like a crap ton of siblings. So we played outside all the time, but I'm like, acreage to my one child, like he doesn't want to go outside and play on multiple acres. He wants
by
to
himself.
Have play dates.
Yep.
And so I'm like, it's just, I
and
mean.
And play Fortnite. Like that's way better than acreage.
Fortnite. Yeah. They just want to do that. And so, yeah. Here we sit. We'll continue to look.
I know. There's one on Parsons Creek that has 7 acres, and I'm just like, the house is like great, but it's holy cow.
I'm going to pull that one up because I have clients that might be interested.
Because it's, yeah, Megan and I looked at it. It's like 7.5 acres. There's a creek on it. It's like there's a... some kind of a pen or coop for like chickens and stuff, but there's
like
an outdoor
fire
pit area. It's like 3-4 something Parsons Creek, but it's like it the house we really like, but it is literally one of like the outdoor is Megan and I's dream scenario. Outdoor fire pit, tons of space, and it's like wooded. If you zoom out from like, we would love like maybe a 1/2 acre that's manicured, but then we want to be surrounded by trees for privacy.
Yeah.
And this house is just like in the middle of 7 acres where there's trees and forestry everywhere. And like I said, there's a creek that's like 50 yards down from the house that's on your property. And I'm just like, oh. And there's an outdoor kitchen area that is stunning. stunning. A whole beautiful. Covered outdoor extra kitchenette area.
This is actually in their property search already. I just hadn't made it that far, so I did just send a dream house good. To my clients. There I'm so go. Sorry, but thank you for...
business.
It was already on their search. I just hadn't made it that far down today.
So I feel like the big stuff that has been coming out the last handful of months and what is quickly approaching and something that's on like the tip of everybody's brain is...
all the things that are in the media.
NAR lawsuit stuff.
NAR lawsuits. Yeah.
And kind of approaching that subject because this is happening to the real estate industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. The finite changes have yet to be seen. There are what we need to, differentiate is like there are multiple lawsuits happening. I know at the beginning they were talking about like, we're just going to do one lawsuit and it's going to cover everything. And it's like, no, there's multiple and they're all going to have different impacts. Mm-hmm. So we have no clue how the next 6 to 12 months is going to shape up.
Right.
What the impact of that is going to be on the industry. We're talking about the ending of dual commissions and buyer's agreements and all of these things that are going to be required now. And there's a lot of shifting happening. Mm-hmm. Things that require, I think, a good amount of education, a good amount of plugging your ears to a lot of the negative noise that's out there.
Very much so.
A lot of coming together as a community and figuring out a new way to work together.
Right.
Which is challenging when you have such a divisive subject matter. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to first and foremost ask your initial take on kind of these lawsuits. Some people are like, yep, this is a long time coming. And some people are like, what the heck's going on? Like the validity behind all of that stuff. Like what are your initial, as we see all of this roll out, what are your thoughts on the first steps and things that are happening?
I think change is inevitable. I think this is one of those moments that change is inevitable. Yeah. Whether I agree with the lawsuits or don't agree with the lawsuits, I don't think
it's really
relevant. Yeah. It really doesn't matter. Happening. It is what it is. I think, obviously, if there was no foundation for them to stand on with the lawsuits, they wouldn't have gone through.
Yeah.
If there was no validity to them, they wouldn't have gone through. And so, again, my personal opinion doesn't really
There were
matter.
Probably some bad people I'm doing sure some bad things.
I guarantee absolutely. There were. I guarantee there were absolutely some bad people doing some bad things because there are bad people doing bad things all the time in every industry, every day.
Very quickly touch on, this doesn't make that evaporate either, which is part of the challenge, is it?
Correct.
It's just the same... people that were not doing great stuff before are just probably going to find new ways to do not great stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, which is hard.
Which is difficult. But the people that aren't crappy.
Yes.
Find ways to show that they're not crappy and continue to hopefully do better than the people that are doing crappy things.
Yep.
And here's the deal. People that are doing crappy things, a lot of times, that's how the world works. They're going to end up on top at some point.
Yeah.
They
yes.
are. Yep. They just are. But I'm never going to be one of those people because I don't believe on stepping on heads to get ahead.
Could not agree more.
So I think my opinions on it are irrelevant, but I'm not sweating about it. I'm not stressing about it. I think, again, change is inevitable, and I'm going to, in the moments that I'm not 100% sure or confident in how to handle something that I've never handled before, because I think it would be a lie to be like, I'm so confident going into this. I know exactly how I'm going to do. I just think that there are people who, and when I say people, I mean realtors. I mean, you and I had a very candid conversation before this that I do believe that this is a realtor thing to navigate. It's a very realtor focused event. And I think that there are realtors that I trust and I that have mentored me in a sense that in the moments that I'm feeling like, because we're all going to have a moment of like, oh shit, what do I do? How do we navigate this? Or like, this is a different situation. Or like, hey, I have my plan of how to present this and how to help people understand the things that I have to do, but they're just not doing it. Like, help, And so I think I'm going to find those trusted people and I'm going to lean on them. And I don't know. I think open conversation, like, I think that's what we've talked about this before. Yep. One of my biggest pet peeves in this industry is a lack of communication. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are so nervous about this is because they don't know how to communicate about it. Yeah. And it's going to force us to communicate.
Yep.
It's going to force us to communicate.
1,000%. And the like, to your point, there's a lot of noise and a lot of voices a part of this conversation.
So much.
Some fairly valid, many of them not so valid.
Invalid.
And they just want to share their opinions on it. I think to either create a community of people or just to get on a bandwagon and have their voice heard about what's going on.
Yeah. Let's talk about the media first, because it's 2024, and if we are still in 2024 believing what the media puts out, I think we should really examine ourselves.
It's really
and maybe
ugly.
That's like so rude to say, but I just think that like the loudest noise is the media, and if we don't understand that at this point it is noise.
Yep. And any hot button topic, right? It's like associated anything. With that. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine today that every different media outlet has a kind of a different goal that they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately it feels like when you are absorbing that media, they all have a specific purpose where in the end, they're really trying to create like separation of tribes. They're mm-hmm. they're trying to get people, whether it's socially, politically, professionally.
Severe polarization yeah. is always the goal.
They're trying to find one hot button topic mm-hmm. thing to talk about, and then they're going to find the camp of people that all agree with them, and then you get absorbed in that. Instead of, again, like I just taught a class on this, you know, and teach is a heavy word there. I had a class where I talked to a bunch of real estate agents and I just said, what is your plan to go forward with this? Because all I can tell you objectively from like on the outside looking in is that there is a lot of turmoil and chaos amongst like professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Where if I'm seeing posts online or something where I see hundreds of real estate agents commenting, there is like this 50-50 divide on how things are supposed to be handled, and no one is universally like in agreement about any of it.
Right.
So then that questions, well, when the dust starts to settle and we move forward, how are we going to keep navigating that within our very own community of people who feel opposite about how to resolve this or how to move forward?
Yeah. Change always creates panic. We were talking at the beginning about how we think about moving houses, right? And if yeah. we were to tell our children this really exciting thing for them, that we bought them a bigger house with a bigger piece of land, all they're going to focus on is, I have to leave my house and I have to leave
my
friends and my situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it initially causes panic, and they're not excited about the potential opportunity
yep.
there is
Ooh,
in this bigger space.
Yep.
They just immediately panic.
Yep. This is different.
Change is not bad. Here's the deal. Commissions have always been negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some people that were trying to tell people that they were not negotiable.
Yep.
Shame on them for doing that.
Yep. It's always Absolutely. Been a standard part of it. Even if it was standard, how it was kind of established, they've always been negotiable. That has never not been the case.
Right. Now, I don't want to work for free. I don't think anybody...
I think that's fair.
...in the history of ever wants to work for... Somebody said to me... I was having a conversation with some insurance agents stopped by her office, and they were asking us about it, and we were like, well, we're not going to work for... He's like, I imagine you don't want to work for free because I'm pretty sure that's called slavery. I was like...
Yeah, nobody wants to be doing something for nothing.
For nothing.
And I think one of the things we talked about is a lot of this news, what it's going to start to do, it's going to bring questions to the forefront. Some of them great questions, some of them terrible questions, but questions nonetheless
mm-hmm.
that people in your industry are going to have to start to field probably a little bit more and more eloquently than they had to do before.
Absolutely.
They're just going to have to talk about their value add, their value proposition, why they're worth the commission that they're going for. They're going to have to navigate different waters with how listing agents, if they're going to offer commissions or not, if they're going to make you fight for your commission and what all that looks like. It's
right.
those pieces are a little bit uncharted in terms yeah. of how you navigate that with the client.
Right. Well, and I think I got into this industry in 2021, right? Mm-hmm. That's when everybody got in. If you want to know my story, that's not why I got in, but like you can listen back to old podcast episodes. But I just happened to finish my schooling and get in 2021. I didn't yep. decide to become a realtor because I knew anything about the market at that time. It just happened to be when I finished my schooling. And so I got in 2021, and it was so easy to get clients, right? Clients were full online leads. I would get multiple online leads every single day. It was very easy to just get online leads. And so then interest rates started
skyrocketing
and skyrocketing, and like
industry slowed down.
The industry slowed down, and that was also scary. And people were like, oh my God, the, you know, in the media, they're saying the bubble's going to pop, the bubble's going to pop, the industry's going to crash, blah, blah, blah. And we had to
fight against
that and educate people. And so change is just, this is just, to me, I feel like I'm so glad that I got in at a time that there's so much change, because the same way I learned how to be a really good buyer's agent in 2021, because I dealt with a lot of first-time home buyers, a lot of VA, and they were the underdogs in a very, very competitive market. And I helped a ton of veterans get into homes when they were the least favorable loan type, just mm-hmm. because of cash and whatever. And I had to learn quickly how to do that. And then I took that knowledge of how to be a good buyer's agent, and then I transitioned it into the next type of market. And I learned different, like I learned that I didn't have to over negotiate in a slower market.
Right.
And so I learned, like, you just, it's a continually learning thing. So I think this is just another way that I'm going to have to learn how to communicate things in a transaction.
Yeah.
To sellers and to buyers. And I'm already in a position where I am having to practice those things, those lawsuits. These things don't come into effect until now, August 17th, because it just got pushed back again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm already practicing those things before I have, like, quote unquote, have to do them.
Puts you ahead of the game.
Because I know that's where it's going.
Yeah.
And it's like a gentle, like, if I could ignore it until August, right?
Yeah.
I could ignore it until August,
sure.
But I'm absolutely not going to do that. I have talked about it amongst peers that I trust to talk about it and respect their opinions and get different perspectives on it. And within the real estate community, and that's helping prepare me. And then I just, you know, I took a class recently with this realtor that's been in it for 28 years and gleaned a little bit of information from her. And I'm just already was able that same day to kind of put into practice, because I'm like, okay, I understand that I have to do this, but just hearing how she words it to be able to like
frame it,
then it's like, okay, that feels like a less aggressive way to tell people of what they need to, you know, how I'm going to operate, or,
yes.
you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's just, I have been licensed during a time of a ton of change. And I just look at this as another change and another way that I'm going to learn how to be a really good agent for people. And part of that is not me going to somebody and saying, you should hire me because I'm a really good agent.
Right.
Because do you know how many great agents there are?
So many.
There's so many really good agents. Every agent you talk to is going to be a really good agent. And that's not, my job is not to tell you that I'm a good agent. My job is to show you what I'm going to offer you. So I don't have to say I'm a really good agent. You see what I offer you, and then you just know that I'm a really good agent.
Which is part of the tricky part of this, because now needing the buyer's agent stuff signed up front, before you could get into, have a relationship with someone, start building that, start showing them homes. Mm-hmm. So over the several months that you have them as client before they actually go into contract, you've built this enormous amount of rapport. So then it's like, okay, now we're in the contract and I'm going to be splitting the commission and I'm going to get paid. And they're so happy for you because they love you. Now you're in a space where, unfortunately, this is almost like creating real estate is more like a commodity. It's like, you've got to determine who you're going to use before you even start looking at houses. And so like, you've got to sit down with clients and be like, why should I pick you on day one? Can be really intimidating.
But you know, I don't think that's a negative thing. And I think, because that was a conversation at this class, and I was having a sidebar conversation with a friend, and I was like, I don't, because yes, when I got licensed 2021, it was, I would get an online lead. I'd say, yep, let's go see this house. And then we'd get the ball rolling. Real estate, I've said this time and time again, is one of the most personal things that you can do. Like,
yep.
like being a realtor, it is so relationship based. And if you don't feel some sort of relationship with your realtor, then you're probably not using the right realtor. Like, if you don't feel comfortable with them as a human and you can't, like, I mean, you decide what type of person you are, what type of personality you like and how you like to interact. But if that personality doesn't feel like a personal connection to you, then it's not the right. And like, if
I feel like that'll be harder to establish day one,
I think it will actually be better, because we're not just picking up a phone, meeting somebody to show a house, but instead we're having these buyer consultations. Yeah. We're meeting in person and we're actually developing we're starting our relationship on a personal conversation level. Yeah. Before we just go jump into buying a house.
And it also includes money, which is not comfortable for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to take a little bit more. It's going to slow things down. Not going to slow down the industry, but it's going to slow things down a little bit in regards to like that.
Hey, I want to look at a house. Okay, meet you at the house.
Yeah, it's just like, it gives you an opportunity to actually connect with this person that you are trusting to buy the biggest purchase
of your whole life.
Yeah.
And to your point where you were talking about that you got in 2021, and like, the only certainty that you have at this point in the industry is that there's change.
Right.
And so being used to that, I used to talk to my dad about this, and like, technology, it's like, for, you know, all the way until like, you know, for thousands of years, technologically, everything was relatively similar. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, we had these advancements, you know, cars and telephones and stuff. And then all of a sudden the age of the internet, and we were both born and raised in that.
Right.
So whereas like, it might be harder for someone who like, they went 70 years without having to use a cell phone. And then all of a sudden that's like opening up their whole entire existence. And it's a steeper learning curve when you've lived your whole life. We have lived our whole lives with technology. So we're used to the fact, the only thing that we know is that there's always going to be the next best thing like a month later.
Right.
Similar to real estate, like, you got in, it's not like, oh, I'm same old person, I've been doing it for 30 years and I know this is what to expect in the industry. It's like, obviously there's been change in that time period, but it's like, this is a big adjustment where the only things that you have seen are big sweeping changes and adjustments. Right. Almost makes you more capable of shifting into those and more able to handle what is needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I heard other realtors say like, oh, a new agent can't help you. Like, mm-hmm. with these changes coming, a new agent can't. Well, that's unfair.
I think an unprepared agent is going to have a harder time.
Absolutely.
But I think anybody, given the reality of the news and with the knowledge and with reaching out to people, I think anybody can make themselves very ready to put the client's needs in a very wonderful position moving forward when all this stuff is required.
Yes. Do I think that this is going to thin out an oversaturated
1,000%
career? Yes.
Yep.
It is.
I mean, this year we've lost 70% of our industry compared to 2021. Speaking of which, mm-hmm. both lending and real estate, there's about 1/3 or less of the amount of us as there were in the peak of 2021.
Yeah.
Because people are like, this is getting too hard. This is getting more challenging. This is fun. Yeah, I'll see you later. This is going to create a new, like, a lot of people are like, don't want to learn this. Not interested. This is too big of a change, whatever. So you're right. There will be, probably a decent thinning of the herd of people that are like, this is not what I signed up for.
Right. And I just, like, another thing that we had talked about too is like, there is so much right now because it's so scared. We're in that scary change is coming phase.
Yes, which again is the media hype of it all. Right. Just giving worse news.
It's really split and it's really polarized and whatever. But like, as realtors and stuff like that, I don't think it's helpful to get on social media and say, new realtors can't serve you. These realtors can't serve. Like, that just feels so icky to me.
Yes, or pointing fingers division. Like, and
how about we support each other? Because here's the deal. We're probably, especially as the herd thins, we're probably going to have to work together. And I'm not going to be so gung-ho to work with you if I know that you're one of those realtors that's up there
talking poorly about
other realtors.
In my class that I was talking at this last week, one of the things I said about, like, I was like, I just, from like professional to professional, I can tell you, I think I don't think a positive value add is running someone or something else into the ground.
Agreed.
Like, me as the lender, my sales pitch isn't, oh, this bank sucks.
Right.
And so, therefore, you should use me. This other person or this other thing is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I have to differentiate the positive aspects of working with me. Now, if we're in a one-on-one conversation and somebody, I'll explain the differences, but I'm still not like, they are terrible, don't ever use them, or they cannot possibly. It's like, well, these are some of the differences between us, and this is what value proposition that I can add to make things easier and smoother for you.
Yeah.
And figuring that out for everyone is very personal as well. It's like, that's one of the reasons why some of this coaching is difficult. It's not like, oh, use this script and you'll be fine. Because then if that script is used by everyone, you are no different than every other realtor that's lining up to have them sign a piece of paper to then get them to work.
Right.
You have, like you said, it is extraordinarily personal.
Right.
So then the answer that you are giving is how isn't like, how is a real estate professional important to helping you? It's, why is Casey important to helping you?
Yeah.
Which is a much different answer for mm-hmm. every person who does this.
For every person. Yeah. And this is, I mean, for buyers, it's going to be more of a, like, interview agents. Mm-hmm. Don't yep. just take... oh, this person said I should work with this person, or I know, like, interview agents. Make sure, like, this is the time that you need to make sure that the realtor that you're working with knows how to make sure that when somebody's offering a 0% commission, if they do that, because you will start seeing homes that are offering that, and if, and, you know, sellers potentially wanting you to pay your own commission, but you don't have the money for that, you need to make sure that you're working with somebody whose goal is to make sure that that fee doesn't get to you.
Correct.
And
the relationships that you carry start right. to matter in that.
Yes. And there's, I think the statistic, what I would have to look it up exactly, but I think it's between like 89 and 92% of sellers say that they understand the value that buyer's agents bring, because without a buyer, you're not selling your house.
Yep. As of the end of 2023, the statistic was 90% of buyers and sellers use agents for their transactions. So that's for sale by owner on the seller. That's buyers wanting to represent themselves. 9 out of 10 people use agents. And my only question is will that statistic continue given the shifts and given the communication? And it's up to us to really, I think, see the forest through the trees a little bit and offer some clarity in all of that. Because again, a lot of what's on the media is fear mongering. It's getting people scared. It's getting people like, why are you worth that? Or they get up in arms, or they're mad, or they're defeated, and they're like, I'll never be able to afford both the real estate and my closing costs. So I just can't. It's like, we need to curb all of that and stick with the reality of the situation. And most of that reality is we are here to help.
Yeah.
And we need to find, like, our job is putting that puzzle together for you.
Right. Right. Change is inevitable. Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It just means that we all have to learn something new.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think, like, the overall, it's funny because, like, when talking about this subject specifically, it's like there wasn't, like, we're not sitting here, quote unquote, doing a podcast, like teaching a class, like, this is this and this is what it means and this is the resolution to it, because things are this is an evolving conversation.
Right. And I don't want to be specific. I'm not the one to educate every person.
Right.
I'm not. And I'm not the one to tell you how, even as a realtor to realtor, like, if you wanted to have a conversation and hear how I'm going to present myself, then amazing. But that's why I'm not sitting here telling you this is how I'm going to address clients, because I'm not the end all be all know all person.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, one, we're going to have to communicate more.
Yep.
Across the board. We're going to, like, as realtors, we're going to have to communicate more and better. Two, we should probably be supporting each other.
Yes, 1,000%.
You know? I think that we should all be supporting each other. I just lost my other point.
Yeah, I mean, and in a community where I remember I got started, you know, 12 years ago, and it very much, I don't know, I've talked about this before, but, you know, that Spider-Man meme where they're like, the three of them are just sitting there, like, pointing at each other.
Yeah.
Like, this blame game.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like that when we started, it was like title, lending, and real estate. It was right. just like, who can you blame for this? And things with this discussion, the reason why I even step into, like, what's happening around it is more to say, like, how can we keep this community together? When I started teaching classes, like, a decade ago, I was like, how can we bring our community of people together? Because we're all here for the same purpose. Right. We're not against each other. We're all here to help serve the client. And the only way to help them in this instance is to clear out a lot of the noise, clarify, and still have their best interests at heart.
Right.
It's not about advocating for our top dollar. It's not about fighting against other people. It's not about, it's like, we want to work to earn money to support our families.
Right.
We're not, of course, doing this
the
for free.
The same reason any human being works in the world.
And so we're here to explain and express like why our value is so important to like the home buying process and making sure to put the client's needs and their minds at ease. Like my biggest thing that I tell people in terms of even my own personal value add is like, I hate surprises. I'm here to make this as transparent, honest, and easy as I can. And the thing is, transparency, honesty, and ease are going to shift with the market. How I can keep things honest, how I can be transparent, mm-hmm. is going to be dependent upon the landscape that's in front of me.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like from the lending side, again, like I didn't know this was going to be my payment. Oh, that's how much down? I don't have those conversations. I don't have those like those concerns come flying at me 3 weeks into the process because I've already answered those questions. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And now it's just going to create an opportunity for real estate agents to have these conversations up front, I think, to make an even better transaction instead of a one that's causing headache or concern.
Well, and if you think about it, with a seller, if I'm selling somebody's house, I don't want to say I'm selling myself to them, but I'm having a consultation with them.
Yep.
To show them why I should be the one out of all these other realtors to sell their house.
Hundreds of us, lenders and real estate agents.
Yeah, right. If we're going to have, and I'm going to have that seller, I can't list their home until I have a signed contract.
Right.
So I can't sell their house until there's a contract. So the same thing for a buyer is I'm going to add value to your purchase. I'm going to support you and I'm going to add value that earns money.
Yep.
To your purchase, but then we're also going to sign this agreement the same way I would sign one with a seller.
Yes.
So it's real. I mean, it's kind of bringing, you know, even scales to the buying and the selling side. And again, I think it is going to it's going to bring a whole new level of communication and relationship into real estate. And I don't think that's a negative thing.
No, I think it's wonderful.
Right.
I mean, I've always talked about that with, you know, the real estate side is so relationship driven and the lending side is so like dry, black and white, so boring and so horrible. Like I have to really force my way into the relationship side of like getting connected with people because it's like nobody likes pulling their tax returns and getting their credit pulled and all of that.
Yeah, they might as well just stand naked in front of
you. Yeah,
and they'd
like,
probably rather do
need
that.
Need anything else? And I've had people, they're anything else on the strip search, sir? Like
that's
the
survey we should do, a poll we should do.
Oh,
what percentage would you rather stand in a room in front of somebody that you don't know naked
do a strip search
versus give them all of
do
your financial information?
Oh, man. I would hate the results of that because I know the reality.
I'd rather
die
naked
than
in front of you.
Yes. And I've had, people have certainly made comments to that effect with lending. And so, you know, working extra hard, I think, to develop that. And now creating this transparency with the real estate side and also this kind of like upfront conversation is a chance for relationship building, I think, is only going to be a positive thing.
Yeah. And commissions aren't going away, guys. They're not.
No.
Buyer's agent commissions are not going away. They're just...
just being talked about more now.
They're just going to be talked about more. They've always been negotiable and they're just going to be negotiated. They're not going to be posted in an MLS system anymore. They're just going to be, it doesn't mean that a seller can't upfront set that, which honestly might save you money if you do upfront set that, because say that you offer a 2 or 2.5% commission, then that realtor's not going to come, that buyer's agent's not going to come negotiate
3%.
3%.
You're like,
so
I just saved the money.
I just saved 0.5% and do the math on 0.5%.
And there's like a lot of people are going to want to tackle this a lot of different ways. And I think the important thing among all else is having accurate and true information for like what's going on at that time.
Yes.
And again, working with people that you can trust. And I think that is probably the biggest value add is that through all of this noise is connecting with somebody like Casey who is searching the accurate answers, going and advocating for you. And it's like, honestly, you want somebody who's also advocating for themselves. Like, I mean, it's, you know, like, discount people exist all the time, but honestly, you get what you pay for.
Right.
And I say that all the time, even from the lending side of things, like, you know, the things that when we are advocating for, like, just supporting and taking care of our family, the only way that that's going to work is if I can meet those expectations. So my customer service has to be above and beyond. Otherwise, I fall short. Yeah. And that's the only way I feel like we can grow in this industry is by being honest, forthcoming, and meeting that bar of like what we're communicating with people. Like, hey, this is why you should use me and pay me 2 or 3% or whatever. Like, this is why I'm worth it. The only way that long-term works for your business is if you're actually worth it.
Right.
Because if you don't meet those and then people are like, ugh, she charged a ton of money, but she was terrible.
Yeah.
That is quickly going to derail your plan.
Absolutely right.
But you otherwise, you have people that are like, she's worth 6%. Yeah. So 3% is a steal. Like that's, you know, that's the level of service that I know Casey, on a personal level, I know is what she strives for every time. And so
thank you.
Those are the kinds of, like, those are the people you want advocating for you. It's like not just the guy that's going to charge a 0.5% broker commission fee and then call it a day because, you know, they're going to talk to you once and they're not going to help you at all. Like that won't actually serve you in buying a house.
Well, I heard this from a very veteran agent who she said, if you are interviewing a realtor and they say, I'm an incredible negotiator, and they've told you that they charge 3%. And they say, one of their points of why they charge them out, they say, I'm an incredible negotiator. And that you say, I don't want to pay you 3%. They say, okay, I'll take 1.5. You're going to trust them to negotiate
you a house? Yeah.
They suck at negotiating. they just caved in an instant.
In an instant. So what are they going to do for you?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're gonna cave in an instant. They're not a good negotiator.
And fortunately, I think the community that we surround ourselves with, again, like when I stood up and like I was like, hey, I'm not involved in all of this, but I want to create a community discussion around it because I want to find, like, Casey and I surround ourselves with like-minded people.
Yes.
And those people are not the ones that are trying to undercut other people or trying to sell other people short. It's we're just trying to build each other up.
Yes.
And why those things are important and valuable, which is why like those business relationships are so vitally important. It makes my day so much better when I'm working with people that I love and trust and appreciate and like talking to on the phone. And I know that are advocating for my clients in the same way that I would, not undercutting them, sending them to save a buck or whatever. We're all in this together. I feel like that's the only way to like make this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that's all for today.
That's all we got.
But essentially, like, change is coming and it's okay.
And it is okay. And if you have questions about those change, like reach out.
Reach out to us. Yeah, 100%. That there's, you know, if you want to talk more in depth about, you know, from a realtor, like hear more of my thoughts about it or how I'm presenting this to my buyers and sellers and how I'm having those conversations, I'm happy to have those conversations on or a personal level.
That you're wanting to buy or sell a home and you need to call Casey to help you with that. So,
because guys, I'm like a really good agent. I charge 3% unless you say no, and then I charge 1.
And then I charge 1.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, but we will be back next month for our next podcast. And hopefully we had a guest that their child got very sick.
Very sick.
So we will hopefully be reconnecting with them and doing that for next month.
Yeah, absolutely. So stay tuned. We'll see you next time.
Bye.